Blog Talk Radio.
Appeared before the Congressional Committee to tell what I knew of activities which might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it, and he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
I'm Jim Tucker. I've chased Bilderberg for 30 years. I'll never give up the chase. Bilderberg's plan for the whole world is nothing less than world government.
I'm not comfortable with that at all. Who elected these guys to run the planet?
They are the elitists. They feel they should run the world for their own selfish interests.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government, and only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
David Rockefeller admits in his own memoirs that he wants to destroy the United States.
What?
He's a traitor!
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
I need you to move off the property.
Some shots were fired.
There's Bilderbergers right there.
The Trans-Texas Corridor is a vital part because we stop it here in Texas. We stop the new world order right here in Texas.
This thing started here. And to save this country, we kill this damn thing here.
President of the United States to carry out a phrase his father used, and that is a new world order.
Your new world order will fall. Yes. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we wed ourselves to life, and to everything good, and everything that flows from it.
Hey, everybody, my name is Joseph Gibson. We are live on blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. Log into that link. You can listen to the show via your iPhone podcast, whatever the heck you got out there, your laptops, you're out and about, your cell phone, you're sitting around text messaging. Hey, log into this show, listen for a little while. You may learn something. Or you may be at home. You know what? Instead of turn off the TV, listen to this show. You may have something you want to say tonight. You want to talk about something? 657-383-0616. Press 1, you'll be put through. Press 1 one time and wait. If someone else is talking or someone else has a question and they're trying to make their point, I'm not going to interrupt them to put you through. You have to wait your turn. If you press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, you screw up the whole panel. Because you press 1, you're connected. You press it again, you're disconnected. Well, after you press it 7 or 8 times, you don't know if you're connected or disconnected. And it doesn't show me how many times you pressed it. It shows me you pressed it once, and I'm trying to connect you. Well, and then you're not there, okay? So it takes away time from others who want to share and speak. So understand the instructions. Some of you may not be illiterate in computers and technology, but I think that's pretty simple. You want to talk, press 1, sit there and wait your turn. You can still hear the show. I'm not playing boring music for you like Walmart or Home Depot putting you on hold, right? You still can hear the show. Just press 1, sit there and wait, and I'll, trust me, I'll get to you. Anyway, it's 9-11. Oh, those famous numbers. 9-11. 9-1-1, 2001. Where were you September 11th, 2001, when the Twin Towers fell down? Or when those planes crashed into the Twin Towers. And then an hour and a half, 2 hours later, they all crumbled. Picture perfect scene, actually. Just like a demolition. Have any of you seen a building demolition? Sure, you must have if you watch TV. Or you seen it in the movies? Come on. The building from the bottom, boom, 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 boom. And it all crumbles straight down like a pancake. Boom, 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 boom. All demolition. The World Trade Center was built and designed so that if a plane was to hit it or crash into it, they had specific features. Their steel columns in those buildings were specifically designed so that if a plane, because they were high up and there's a lot of air traffic in New York City, So these things could happen. An accident could happen. A plane could crash into those buildings. They're almost up in the clouds, for goodness sake. So they took precautions, and they built them a certain way. So that if a plane was to crash into the building, it would not destroy the entire building. But for some reason on 9/11, these buildings came down perfectly. Picture perfect X. I got people emailing me now. I know you want to get on. I got one person that wants to press one and get on. Just hang on a minute. Let me finish the introduction and I'll put you on. I know you're there. Trust me. I see all the numbers and I see you. You don't have to text me or message me. I see the numbers on the screen. I will put you through. But I have to lay out a platform for the show. And if you want to talk about something else, you're more than welcome to. Like I invite everyone on this show, you can talk about anything that's on your mind, but I would like to have my say first. After all, it is my show. Okay? And I like to lay out the platform. But those of you who want to get in, of course, I will give you the time to speak, and you may say whatever you want. So just be a little patient, pay attention to the introduction, and if you have something else relevant or something else that you want to talk about prior shows or something new that you want to bring up, by all means, you're more than welcome to, but just hang on, hold your horses. Don't worry, those text messages pending, don't worry, just, you know, this is more important. Just hang on, okay? We're only an hour and a half long. You can take an hour and a half out of your day and obtain a little knowledge or help someone or, you know what, get some things off your chest or off your mind that you want to talk about. We're here. It's my dollar. I'm paying for the bandwidth, okay? So we're live on the internet. These shows are archived, and I'm going to tell you right now, the show the other night, they do give me the clicks and the ratings, okay? We did have a total of 63 live listeners on the phone last night, total. I can only hold 50, so when someone hangs up, another one can take its turn. That's why if you have trouble getting through, that's because I can only hold 50 calls simultaneously, okay? And I don't even see most of them because my screen can only see 10 of you, and I have to scroll down. At the meantime, I'm talking, I'm answering questions, and I'm allowing other, you know, so it's very difficult. That's why most of these shows have co-hosts or you have a producer. Like when I was on Interpraise Media, you had a producer. He controlled the control panel while I spoke, and then the guests spoke. So I'm doing it all on my own here. So just be patient, okay? I will get to you. You will have your say. We don't have to be in a rush. Everyone's in a rush nowadays. We've got to go here, go there, do this, do that. Don't worry. Take advantage of the technology. Get your word out. Like I said, this is a worldwide broadcast. I had someone from Africa send me an email, okay, that they heard the show. All right? Now, they were scammers. They wanted me to buy their product, whatever. I don't know. I deleted it, but someone claims they did hear the show. How would they know what we were talking about? Because they did mention something we were talking about, otherwise it's some of the show. So this is the internet, and the internet is accessed worldwide. Like I said, these shows are archived. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson or type into your browser Joseph Gibson Blog Talk Radio, and all my shows will appear on the screen. Maybe not the one you're looking for, maybe not the live show, but my shows do pop up on the screen because I've done it. I've searched it myself, okay, and it's true. So they're all there. So what you say on this show is archived forever, okay? So just hang on. Back to the World Trade Center and the towers that had fallen on September 11th, 2001. Where were you on that day? I was actually walking into Walmart in Wallingford, Connecticut. And all the employees in the store were staring up at the television set, watching the building on fire. Okay, the first tower had already fallen. And they're biting their nails. Oh, my Lord, whoa! And credit cards would not work at that time for a little while, if you remember correctly. All credit card machines went down. A lot of electronic devices went down for a little while. Police were everywhere. If you live in Connecticut, you know, because you're close to New York City. If you took I-95, it was closed. You saw on the bulletin boards, on the signs, closed. New York City closed. Okay? All lanes to New York City closed. Okay, they stopped all flights, all airline traffic, all train activity. All right, all public transportation stopped that day. So it was pretty chaotic. And then, of course, in the following days, everyone took out their patriotic capabilities and their beliefs and hung flags on their car, especially in the state of Connecticut. Wherever I looked, someone had an American flag on their car, showing their patriotism. And we wanted revenge. Oh, yeah, we got to go after somebody, right? Somebody did this. Somebody attacked us, right? America's going to strike back, but little did you know, it came from within. The attack came from within. We now have learned this as the years have gone on. Some of you still may not believe it, that the attack came from within. Some of you may not still believe it and still deny it and say, why would the government blow up the World Trade Center? Oh, Lord. Now, it's going to take this whole show to really explain it and to really give my factual evidence and historical evidence that tell you why they would, okay, for the agenda that they wanted to perpetuate and push forward. We all know the Patriot Act was passed days after that, okay? I mean, and this is not the Patriot Act. The World Trade Center was a trading facility. What the hell do you think the name of it was? World Trade Center. All the bonds of the United States Treasury Department, bonds with your name on it, your birth certificates, were all held in the basement of these buildings. Okay? These were very important buildings to the economy around the world. You say, well, that's why the terrorists wanted to attack. No. You cannot fly an airplane into a building for it to collapse. Kerosene fuel will heat up at the maximum of 1,400 degrees, okay? The maximum, okay? To melt steel, you must have a temperature of 2,500 to 3,000 degrees. Now, a consistent amount of time of no more than 3 hours for it to begin to melt, all right? Look it up. I'm not lying to you. It's the laws of physics. It's the laws of science. You cannot change it. It doesn't change on 9/11. All right? You cannot melt steel at that degree of temperature by the chemicals of the jet fuel that they claim that melted the steel columns, which eventually collapsed the buildings. Not to mention, why were 75% of the people who were supposed to be in those buildings that day not there? Why were they told not to come into work that day? Why? Why did Building 7 come down? We forget about that other building that mysteriously collapsed, right? Some of you may know about that. I'm a little uneducated on that particular building, but there were other buildings that collapsed that day, mysteriously. No plane flew in there. How'd it collapse? What? What the heck? The building just came alive and said, I'm collapsing. Everything else is collapsing. I'm collapsing too. Why not? Why did it collapse? No plane flew into it. Nobody blew it up. No terrorists blew it up anyway. So why did it collapse? Another building collapsed. Okay? Look it up. It's true. Now we go to the Pentagon. We all know it would be virtually impossible for a professionally trained pilot to fly a plane the way they did into that Pentagon. Impossible. However, the CIA and FBI confiscated all surveillance videotape from even your local 7-Elevens around that area for over 100 miles in a circular pattern around the Pentagon. Gas stations that are near the Pentagon, the street cameras that are up on the telephone poles, they confiscated every single video, documented truth. There's people that I even know that were down in that area at that time. They said they came in, confiscated the video, no questions asked. You want to go to jail right now? Give us the videotapes. Where's the owner of this gas station? I want the videotapes right now. I'm the FBI. They gave them up, okay, because those videos had tape and images of what actually hit the Pentagon. It was a missile. not a plane. The plane that was supposed to hit the Pentagon went down in the woods, in the field. That one went straight down. We know that's true. Okay, that one went straight down and hit the ground, killed everybody. If you're on an airplane with 250 or so passengers, I know if I am, and I'm on there with my family, and some Middle Eastern towelhead gets up with a box cutter and says he's hijacking the plane, do you not think I'm going to get up and try to knock his ass out? He's got a box cutter. That's it. That's what they claim they hijacked the plane with. There's 250 of us. There had to be at least, I don't know how many were men, but, you know, you would only need one person, actually, to take on somebody with a box cutter. I've fought, have had fights in my life. I've had people come out with baseball bats, knives, everything. Okay? So a box cutter, that's no threat. A ceramic box cutter at that. They claim they were ceramic. That's how they got them through the metal detectors. Ceramic box cutters. So some guy gets up in your airplane. Everybody, I'm hijacking the plane, blah, 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 whatever they said up there in the, you know, way up. Okay? Box cutters, folks. He took over all these people, these couple terrorists. I think what? In that plane, there were what? Four terrorists? Four men with box cutters were over to come hundreds of people. Come on. All right. Okay. Maybe they did. We know there's a lot of punks out there and there's a lot of sissies who wouldn't stand up and fight for nothing. Okay, maybe. But now we got people making cell phone calls from the plane. All right, folks. Have any of you flown an airplane or a jet? I have. Your cell phone does not work up in an airline, up in a jet, okay? It does not work. You let me know if you can have a conversation with anyone who's flying in a jet. You let me know. Call into the show, please. I'd like to know. Can we call anybody live on the air tonight who's up in an airplane? I really want to know. Disprove me. So we got cell phone calls coming mysteriously from the hijacked planes. Oh, I can go on and on and on of all the inconsistencies of this 9/11 nonsense. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more tonight. But today is September 11th, 14 years ago. Many people did die that day. And that is very sad. That is very, very sad. Many people did die that day. There's no denying that. And many people have died since because of what happened on September 11th. Many people have put on the uniform, strapped a gun on their back, joined the military, and gone over and bombed Afghanistan. A country that has little than 8 miles of railroad tracks, no major cities. Most of the cities don't even have electricity. But yet, some people in a cave were able to pull off the greatest terrorist attack known to the world today. People in a cave were able to orchestrate this magnificent terrorist attack. They made NORAD stand down that day. They were able to fool everybody that day. These people in a cave. They sent these people over to the United States, trained them. They got pilot's license. They tricked airport security, got on that plane, hijacked 250 people, just a couple of them on each plane, and they were managed to fly that plane expert style. I mean, I'm talking about professional. This is hard to do, right into those buildings, right into the Pentagon. I mean, this was a perfect, methodical plan, and it all worked. You know, and then the bad man, Osama bin Laden, the kingpin of it all, Al-Qaeda. Where's Al-Qaeda today, by the way? Does anyone know? We don't even talk about Al-Qaeda anymore, do we? It's ISIS now. ISIS is the boogeyman now. ISIS. Al-Qaeda decided they're going to retire. They're going to go back into the mountains and the caves. ISIS has taken over now. Al-Qaeda's gone. Remember all these years now, we've caught the number two guy of Al-Qaeda forever. Al-Qaeda, they got the number two man of Al-Qaeda. Every week they caught the number two guy on the news, remember? And then finally, Obama gets Osama bin Laden. He was hiding in an apartment in Pakistan all this time. Can you believe that? Watching TV. Can you believe it? They finally got him. And after they got him, they dumped the body in the ocean, you know? They don't want anybody seeing him anymore. So he dumped the body in the ocean. He's gone. Come on. What a fairy tale. Oh, boy. Anyway, caller that was on the line tonight. Hey, I believe this is Wallingford, Connecticut, one of our new supporters. I got to put him on. Hey, why not? Go ahead, Wallingford, Connecticut. John, how you doing tonight? You're on. I just passed you through. It's passing through right now as we speak. You should be on. Can you hear me?
How you doing, man? Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, very good, very good. How you doing, John? What's on your mind tonight?
Well, it's obvious 9/11 and, like, all the people that died for no reason. It really, like, makes me really mad to know that over, like, 30,000 people died that day.
3,000 people, John, 3,000.
3,000? Oh.
3,800, I believe, four people died. I don't have the exact number, but it was in the thousands. I think you're talking about combined between the war and 9/11. Then that's probably about right, 20 to 30,000. But that day, over 3,000 people did die. But go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
I actually watched the video, and as soon as the first plane hit, like, I saw a light in the building of, like, a bomb exploding before the plane hit. So I'm actually thinking now that it is possible that Bush caused 9/11.
Okay, yeah, and a lot of people do believe that because, you know, remember he was in a second grade class and reading a book about a duck, if you remember correctly. Okay, and they came in and they whispered in his ear, you know, they made it dramatic, like, you know, he's sitting there, you know, they had the cameras in the classroom that day, just so they happened to have him there. And then his security advisor, after the attack, came in, whispered in his ear, and you seen him rocking in the chair with that look in his eyes. And I was in jail in my life, and I've been around a lot of criminals, and I'm sure you've met a lot of people who lied in your life, too, and you can just see it in his eyes, that he's full of shit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm not a mind reader, but I'm just saying, as a person, as an observationist, and from somebody through my own personal experience, I believe the man's a liar. What do you think? Excuse me.
I do think he's a liar also. I agree with you.
John, where were you on night on September 11th? 2001. You're obviously young, so you were probably really young at that time, because it was 14 years ago.
I was 3 years old.
Excuse me?
I was 3 years old.
So you don't really remember it?
No.
Okay, you don't remember it happening
time,
live?
No, at that time I was living in my country, Portugal.
Portugal. You're from Portugal, Jim? That's fine. And when did you move to the United States, if you don't mind me asking?
That was in 2006.
What did they think? Were you old enough to be around in school in 2006? You were 3 in 2001, so you were 7 years old before you finally, 7 or 8 years old before you moved here. Well, did you go to school in Portugal at all?
Yeah.
What do they think about America and 9/11? Well, I mean, if you can remember, if not, I understand. But what's their viewpoint on America over there in Portugal? I've never been to Portugal.
Well, I think they really like this country because, like, when I was there, we were studying American language and stuff like that. We're, like, studying about America when I was there. So
yeah.
I think they do care about this country and, like, understand and, like, are sad about, like, what happened, the tragedies that happened, but because I was way too young.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. I understand, John. I understand. Well, you got anything else? You want to say hello to anybody tonight, or you want to talk about anything else that's on your mind other than 9/11, or do you want to voice out about 9/11? Whatever you want to say, the floor is yours right now. I got one other person that wants to call in, you know, like I said, you want to say hi, whatever you want to say. I appreciate you calling in.
Well, Savannah Turgeon's right next to me if she wants to talk. Go ahead.
All right,
hi.
Put her on. Hey, Savannah, how
I'm
you
here.
Doing? This is Savannah, actually, my niece from Wallingford, Connecticut. And how old are you, Savannah? You're 15, correct?
Yeah.
All right, Savannah, you're 15, and you've heard me talk about 9/11. What's your opinion about the towers being blown up?
I think that, well, I agree with John, what he said.
You think it's very suspicious what happened, right?
Yeah.
I know you've been in school since this happened, and you're in high school today. Tell me, how does high school teach American history today about 9/11, or even in general, like U.S. history? I mean, you've told me this, and I'm only asking you this so you can repeat it for other people out there. How strict are they in school, and how much are they in your family life and your personal business other than academics? I mean, can you get into that a little bit?
Well, I kind of feel like that, well, they don't really talk about, like, they didn't, like, talk about 9/11 at all, like, ever.
Okay.
But, yeah,
all right.
They're, like, really, like, they're not even, like, wrapped up with, like, academics. They're just, like, involved with, like, your personal life.
They're more involved in your personal life than they are academics, right?
Yeah.
And they're very censorship type. Like, if you said the word gay in school, would you be suspended?
Yeah, you'd probably get a detention.
A detention for saying the word
yeah.
gay. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And they kind of, like, showcase it, too, which I don't really agree with.
What do you mean, showcasing? Can you explain that?
Like, there's, like, gay pride signs and stuff.
Oh. So what you're saying is that it's okay to openly acknowledge you're gay, but if you, as a heterosexual human being, or a normal human being, because I call you normal, disagrees with it, you'll be in detention or suspended. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Wow. Oh, my Lord.
Over the summer, I had, like, a reading book, and it was, like, about, like, two gay people. Like, that
oh
was
Oh, my Lord.
Book.
That was your... Wow. So they're teaching you... teaching you... Basically, what they're doing is they're kind of promoting gay lifestyle other than a mother and father lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is incredible. And you're in high school, correct?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, folks, you know why our children are so screwed up. Your public schools, they're one of the most important aspects of society to blame why our children are so screwed up today. You just heard it from a student of a high school. I don't want you saying the name of your school, because I don't want you getting any backlash in case someone, you know, because I know where you go to school at.
Yeah.
I don't want you saying that because, you know, you could get backlash. But, you know, nobody really knows, you know, like I said. But anyway, we'll leave it at that. But what I'm trying to say is, that is incredible. I mean, that blows my mind. I'm speechless. If you speak against gay people, you'll be suspended or put in detention, but... And in the textbooks they have in school, it's about two gay people, a story about two gay people. This is incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Well, Savannah, you know what? In the future, because it blows my mind right now, I really don't even know what else to say about that subject because I'm like, it makes me angry in a way. But in the future, I hope you come back because I'm going to have some questions for you about your school because I want to know more about what they're teaching in high school. Remember, I went to high school in the 1980s. We lived, and there's probably listeners tonight that went to high school in the 60s, the 50s, and the 70s. And we come from a very different generation. When I was in high school, we wore leather jackets. We carried around knives. And, we were teenagers that were troublemakers. We were rock and roll people. And now what I'm hearing from you, you're a bunch of pussies. I'm not saying you as an individual, but that's what the schools are teaching you, and it's pathetic. It's disgusting. Savannah, I got a couple other people I got to get to on the line. Do you want to say hello to anybody, any of your friends that may be listening?
I don't, no, not really.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Well, Savannah, thank you very much. If you got anything else, I'm going to disconnect you right now so you're not still live on the air, but I got another caller I want to get to. And I appreciate you calling in, Savannah. Thank you. And John, too, for supporting the show. He's a new supporter of the show, and he's getting pretty popular on the show, actually. So I hope he continues to contribute. Thanks, John. Thank you, Savannah. I appreciate it. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Take it easy.
All right, I got Merritt in Connecticut. Go ahead, you're on. Hello.
Merritt in Connecticut, he's on. Hello, Joe. Hello, John. Go Portugal. Hi, Savvy. Hey, we could talk forever about this, but I got some things to say. We've been talking about this for years, and we still don't have any answers. I was right in front of those buildings right a short time just before this, so they're not that far from here anyway. So what I'm about to say is don't believe what I'm going to say. Research it yourself. And just find the answers yourself. I've said this in a few shows before. One thing we can't dispute is that the buildings came down because they're not there. I don't know because I haven't seen them not there, so I can't say it for sure, but I would assume that they're not there. So we can assume that. Not only did one building come down that day, but seven. Seven buildings came down that day. I don't see how that's possible. No time in history has a metal building ever come down from a plane hit ever, but yet six others come down that weren't even hit. Cell phones don't work in airplanes because they're horizontally polarized, and they don't go that far up into the air, so they don't work. And you're absolutely right, they don't work in airplanes. The ridiculous claims, they're all ridiculous claims concerning everything. We talked about the guy living in the cave sending out VHS home videos that we could watch on the internet. But our FBI and CIA can't find them. There's something wrong with this entirely. Now, research all what I just said, but research what I'm about to say next, and you're going to have a tough time doing it because they stopped it. Shortly after this event, but before it, they had what was called the Social Security Death Index. And you could go in there, you could find your relatives that died, you could get their Social Security numbers, you could find out where they died, when they died, and it maintained a complete list of how many people died anywhere. And I was looking at that after this event, and the numbers did not change, not 3,800 more, that's for sure. I believe it was like 331 died in New York. Or New York City or something like that when I looked. So it wasn't 3,800. Now, if you look at pictures of the World Trade Centers, you will notice that the floors are all empty. There's nothing in there. They were cleaned out before this event. You say 75% were not there. 75% were not there. I believe 75% were not there before they told the remaining 75% not to come into work that day. Did people die that day? I'm sure they did. I'm sure they didn't, and I feel bad for them, too, for what this government's doing. But they were empty, and as I said, I got kerosene heaters. I keep them on in the wintertime, and they burn hotter than the jet fuel because when you have a black smoke, it means incomplete combustion, and your kerosene heaters burn red hot, and they don't melt into a pile of metal. So you know what? You're not going to melt steel with jet fuel. Jet fuel is just kerosene, basically. That's all it is. It's the same thing. K1 kerosene is jet fuel. Now the planes coming in. For someone to come in with a plane of that size and make that turn and hit exactly in the building the way it did, you'd have to be a very skilled pilot to do that. So it's probably not likely that happened. The image you see of the plane hitting the building. No bricks fall out, no material from the building falls out, no parts of the plane fall off, but yet, a decade before that, engines were falling off of planes during flight because they were put together so shabbily. So that's not believable either. The rubble that you see in the streets from the photos, I was informed that they had junk cars towed there to make it look more impressive. That's what they did. And as a final research event here, get a live shot of all four media networks. And by the way, they're all looking from the same angle, so you can assume that they're all the same camera because they're all looking at the same angle. As a matter of fact, all shots like that are from the same angle. In other words, there's only one person taking these shots. Can you imagine that? And some of the shots have a gray background, some of them have a blue background, and a couple others are consistent with each other. But three of the media channels show this dot flying across the screen, which they say is the plane. But the fourth channel doesn't have that dot, and these are live feeds. Explain this one to me. So what I'm getting at is what you've seen on TV was a movie. It was a planned event. The buildings came down. We've been talking about this for years. We're going to talk about it for years more, and we're never going to get an answer.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm trying to get at right here. Okay. I brought it up in the beginning of the show. Okay. Okay, 9-11. It's the anniversary. And we went to war, and we're still at war because of this. What's the bottom line here? Was this to usher in the New World Order? Was it the beginning of the stages of the New World Order? Why did this happen? Why? What was the reason for it? What was accomplished? What did they... Okay, we say it's not true. It didn't happen the way they said that it happened. Now I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Okay. What did they accomplish by blowing up those buildings? What did they really accomplish for their agenda, if there is really an elite, evil sect of people out there trying to accomplish a new world order? What did they accomplish to hurt us? Because you know what? Here we are 14 years later. I'm doing the same damn thing I was doing back then, and I'm just fine. You know, yeah, a lot of our liberties are in question. Well, all right. Well, tell me then. Right. What did they accomplish?
Well, two things come to my mind quickly. One of them we can't prove. The other one we can. You talked about it before. What was inside those buildings? We don't know that for sure, but we could guess, and you're probably accurate. But they probably moved all that stuff out before this, like they did all the furniture and everything to make it appear. The second thing, the Patriot Act. That was written in 1 week. They wrote 5,000 pages of law in 1 week. You know, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. You know, these people can't go to the bathroom in a week. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, so you got the Patriot Act. And because of that, try to go open up a bank account now. Try to do anything. You can't do anything more because of that. And who knows what else is buried in it. Have you read that yet?
I've read the Patriot Act. Yeah, I've read a lot of it, actually. And there's a lot of things that they haven't enforced yet. Yes, that's true. And like you said, try to open up a bank account. Yes, there are procedures now, and they will quote the Patriot Act because of 9/11. Yeah, so they did accomplish some of that. Big deal. I'm still fine today. Was it really worth killing thousands of people for this little bit of progress for the New World Order? You know?
Well, first of all, I don't think they killed thousands of people because, like I said, the Social Security death index that I looked at didn't indicate that because it tells where the person died. I saw 300, 330, 350 or something like that, in addition to the normal amount you see on a daily basis for that reporting period. But didn't Silverstein get $7 billion for the buildings? You know, supposedly the World Trade Center was all asbestos and everything else. Can you imagine the cost to have to tear that down?
Well, yeah, true. That's true. Well, I don't think they tore it down because of asbestos. I don't think they went through that much trouble because there was asbestos. But, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. You know, but what I'm trying to say is that it's a big thing. Everyone knows in America knows about 9/11. Look, John from Wallingford, Connecticut, that just called in, a new caller. He was 3 years old at the time, and he knows about 9/11. He's from Portugal. They know about 9/11. Everyone around the world knows about 9/11. What did these elite Bilderberg people really accomplish by bringing down those buildings? Or did these Arab terrorists really accomplish something by flying a plane into those buildings and blowing them up at the same time? Maybe they blew up the buildings. Maybe it wasn't the government, you know?
Well, I don't believe it happened the way we're being told. Like I said, I believe what we see on TV and what we're being told is just a movie. Why they brought down the buildings, I don't have a clue. Have you ever seen them begin building a skyscraper in New York City?
No, I've never seen one built. I've seen them demolitionized, though.
Okay. Well, when New York City is built on bedrock, stone, and the foundations go down quite deep. I mean, you could put your houses down there easily and not even know they're there. You know, this is how far they go down into the ground. So what was underneath it? We will never know. they never recovered all the black boxes from the airplanes, you know, and I don't think that has ever happened in history. But yet they removed that scrap, that pile of rubble, in a matter of a couple weeks. Why? Did they get rid of it? Why did they get rid of it so quick? From what I've learned from demolitions, a demolition will produce a pile of rubble 30% as high as the original structure. So if you had a 1,200-foot building, you should have had a 300-foot pile on the ground, 300 feet high. Where did all the rubble go? Where did it go? You know what? Because the buildings had to be empty, number one, otherwise the pile would have been higher. So if the buildings were empty, then there's the beginning of your lie. The lie started a long time ago because you don't clean that building out in a day.
That's true. Well, anyway, listen, I got Mike out in Wisconsin. He wants to queue in real quick. Mike out in Wisconsin, I'm connecting you live. And that goes for anyone else. You got a question, you want to talk about this or about anything else, give me a call at 657-383-0616. Press 1. I'll put you through. We got three callers on the line right now. I've got about 20 callers on the line live. So if you got something you want to talk about or share, you're more than welcome to. Okay, Mike, go ahead. I'm patching you through. You should be patching through right now. He's not through yet. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good evening. Good evening. You know, I don't know what to say about how it was done and stuff like that, but I know why it was done. It was done. What helps economies grow? Wars do.
Wars.
Every time there's a war, our economy flourishes. It's because money's being pumped, you know, into it, and, you know, jobs are created, you know, just like, you know, back in the 20s and 30s, you know, you couldn't find metal to, you know, to build cars or anything like that. Everything was being used to build the planes and everything else, you know. And, you know, women were at home, you know, they weren't just sitting at home. They were sewing this and doing that and, you know, doing all the stuff here that the guys couldn't do because they were, you know, over fighting. And I believe
Mike, hang on. They claim 9/11, the World Trade Center's actually, you say a war was created, but they say that actually hurt the economy. And that people that I talk to say it hurt the economy. We lost jobs, you know. I mean, so did we benefit from the World Trade Center being blown up? Did we really benefit?
Don't you think you got to look at the long haul? I mean, we're still in war today. I mean, not like we were when President Bush was there and everything, you know. We sent over thousands upon thousands of these Hummers, and, you know, they were
equipment.
Built so
war equipment. Yeah, war equipment.
Yeah,
you're talking about.
They were
Hummers, tanks.
They were built so well that, you know, armor-piercing bullets and stuff like that couldn't go through them. And, you know, now, of course, Al-Qaeda has them, or ISIS, or whatever you want to call them. They have them because, you know, the Iraqis saw them coming, and a yellow streak went up their back, and they jumped out and ran, and, you know, left them all the equipment. But what
You just made a key point. Al-Qaeda or whatever, now ISIS. What happened to Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda was all over the news. Al-Qaeda now is ISIS? What's going on here? Remember, Al-Qaeda was such a big thing, and now it's ISIS going after Christians. But before it was Al-Qaeda blowing up buildings. What's going on here? What's the deal?
Yeah, I don't really know. I know, you know, there's a lot of theories, and you guys, of course, are disgusting. And I'm not saying one is better than the other or which one worked, because when you deal with government, you know, you might as well figure half of it's lies and the other half is nonsense. And, you know, just like Hillary Clinton and her email scandal here. If that was
anybody else. Why isn't she in jail,
yeah.
Mike? If you and I did that, we'd be in jail.
Because she's going to be the next president.
Well, I sure hope not.
You have to remember, these politicians, They tell us what they're going to do. I'm going to transform America, and look what he's doing. We've got the virus in the White House, and we don't have an antidote for it. It's a big idea. Isn't that what Bush said? But they're not telling you how he's going to transform, and he's not telling you the idea.
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, yeah,
that's correct.
Well, Obama has no idea about anything. I mean, the only job he had was, pencil pusher in Chicago. I mean, he's never worked a real job.
But he is the president. He has great power that he could use. And I can't say that he's incompetent. I'm saying that he's not really in control, but he has great power that he could unleash if he wanted to. You know, a chicken in every pot. That was before our times, or your times anyway. You know, they tell you what they're going to do. They just don't tell you what they're going to do.
Well, that's not true. They do. You see, you got to remember, I talked about this before. A Masonic, you know, I worked for a Freemason guy that was actually one of the leaders here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And Masons always, it's kind of like that black magic ritual. It's kind of like a vampire. You have to invite him into your home before he can suck your blood. And these Masons, or these Freemasons, Illuminatis, whatever the hell you want to call them, they always got to let you know what they're doing before they do it. And they give us all these hints, clues, signs, symbols, and signals, music, TV shows, and all these hints and agendas that they're going to do before they do it. It's just like 9/11. If you remember correctly, a lot of shows actually were promoting the blowing up of buildings and hijacking aircraft before then. Now we don't hear anything else about that. We had that TV show 24. That was a real good TV show that really ignored anyone's individual constitutional rights. And it promoted it, like, and highlighted it, like, this guy Jack Bauer, he's going to save the world, and he has to violate this guy's due process rights to get the information to stop the nuclear weapon from blowing up. And that is I guess you could say, like they say, the enlightenment or the magnitude of their knowledge that they're trying to express before everyone, so that, hey, if you could figure this out, we'll move to something else. If not, you know, they pull it off, and it's a big trick, and it's a big deal, like 9/11. 9/11, everyone was caught off guard. They did not know it was going to happen.
Somebody knew, because what we saw on TV was a movie.
Talking about you and I. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about you and I. I'm talking about you and I didn't know it was going to happen, but the people within the higher elite did know it was going to happen. But they let us know prior, before it was going to happen. Look, in 1996, they tried blowing it up once, didn't they? And they screwed up and they failed, right?
Well, supposedly, yeah, they were in the basement with a truck bomb or something else like that, yeah.
Okay. So what do you think is the final end game agenda? I mean, we still talk about 9/11 today. Okay, you tell me everything's going to be just the way it is, no big deal. Things are going to be like the way it is, and you know what? Nothing's going to change. But yet we see things progressing more and more and more to an economy that's adapting to a one-world economy, a one-world government, a new world order, like George Bush, who gave the speech on September 11th, 1991, 10 years before the date that the two towers were brought down and five other buildings, okay? But we don't have to get into that. But what I'm trying to say is, what is the end game scenario, in your opinion, or what you think is going to happen? And that goes for anyone. If you have an opinion on this, or you want to chime in and talk, or you have a comment, what do you think is the final resolution, or where these people are going with all this? What is their goal? What do they want to do with us? What are they going to do to us?
I don't want to think that hard. I'm getting too old. All I want is a peaceful life. The only thing I wish is that you know, they wouldn't lie. You know, these politicians, they appear to be buffoons. They appear to be clueless. They know exactly what's going on, but they're not going to let us know. Where it's going, I don't know. It's going to be a one-world government, probably, as far as I can see. But why? I don't know. you know, that we're going to bring another 10,000 Islams into America now, and you know it's not going to be 10,000, it's going to be 100,000. And let me tell you something, they're not the friendliest people to be around. So it's going to turn into a sore pit is what it is, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. What is going to happen is when they stop all their bull crap and doing what they're doing. Now, I don't have anything wrong with Mexicans, and I don't have anything wrong with Islam or anything like this, but when they're bringing all this crap in here and they're not acting like decent people and acting accordingly the way it should be done, America is going to stand up one day and we're going to take it back.
No, you know what? I think what's going to happen is the end goal is to have planetary control over every and each individual and family, or if not destroy the individual family and sovereign way of thinking around the world today. Each country will assimilate it. And what were you talking about the other day? How you were scammed through PayPal, okay? Who can you call at PayPal or eBay? Nobody. They're a big corporation. They're invisible. And that's what we're going to have for a government. We're going to have an invisible shadow government that we cannot express our grievances to. You want to know why? And you know what? Like you said, they take your money. Oh, well, too bad. You have no recourse. They're going to take everything you have.
Wouldn't that be called a dictatorship then?
There you go. A one-world government. A planetary
right.
events will be controlled by this entity, a group of people who are going to tell you what to do. Now, are they going to put a microchip in me? I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not going to let them do it. But can they control me in my day-to-day events and how I act and what I do? Yes, they can. They can come here with a SWAT team, kick down my door, kill my whole family and me, and drag me out. Who's going to save me? My next-door neighbor? They'll be hiding under their bed, hoping it's not them next. We don't have any real... yeah.
Right.
You know, you're right. And like someone else said in the chat room, it has nothing to do with elected politicians. It doesn't. Politicians are selected. They're not elected, like even you said, Joe. You know, these elections are a game. They're a distraction. You know, it's all nonsense. Donald Trump, he's putting on a show for everybody. Aren't we distracted? Well, Donald Trump, isn't he so popular? He's my hero. Do you really think he's going to be president? No. Come on.
No, I think
he's
going to drop out. I think he's going to
drop
out. But I got something else to tell you about that PayPal stuff.
All right, yeah, go ahead, Joe. And this is Joe. Listen, this is Joe from Meriden, because there's other people who don't know who you are. And you were scammed, like, what, $3,000 from PayPal?
It was a lot more than that, and that was on August 17th and 18th. But, yeah, I've been going around in circles with them and everything, and we won't talk about that. Back and forth with PayPal, back and forth, been to the bank 6 times, blah, 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 new accounts, closed accounts, opened accounts, and all that. But anyway, it's getting towards the end now. And I went down to bank today to close one of the accounts. And luckily, I got right in. As a matter of fact, as I was walking in the building, they know me so well. I was talking to the woman about vacations and everything like this. And then I walked by, and I saw the other girl that helped me, and I chatted with her for a minute. And then they gave me the other guy that was there. And we went through everything, and I told him, you know, what had happened, because he didn't know. And I closed one of the accounts, and I only had $900 in this one account. So he says, what do you want to do with it? I says, well, you can just give me that in cash. This way I won't have to come back here for quite some time. So he writes out a receipt and gives it to me. He says, you can go to the teller and get it. And I look, and there's like 20 people in line. I said, listen, I'm not standing in line to get my $900. You take this, and you go get me the money. And you know what? He says, I can't do that. I said, then take the money out of this account and put it in another account then. And so that's what I had him do. I had him do all the paperwork over again and everything. But then I gave him the card for the account, and I says, here, cut this up. Now, I forgot to mention one thing. When I walked in, I had to show him my driver's license. I had to explain to him everything, which I did and everything, and prove who I was. But and all the paperwork and everything that he did, he had to shred for security purposes. Now, the card that I just closed the account on, he wouldn't take it for me and shred it. Oh, no, you have to take it home and do it yourself. I'm not allowed to touch your card. I says, you know, and that's when I told him, this is part of the problem. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to cut this card up, and if I don't cut it into 3,000 pieces, the people around here are going to be going through my trash and putting it back together again. And that's part of the problem. They try to fix something, but they don't fix it. They make it worse.
Well, I got, listen, okay, well, thanks for giving us an update on that. I got Debbie Lewis, who wants to chime in too. So we'll put her on right now. 235-5237. Go ahead. I think you're connecting
I'll
now.
I'll shut up.
Hey, what I wanted to do is make a comment because you people were talking about the World Trade Center and about it being fake and everything.
Yeah.
All the research I did, the government was forewarned for it happening. That could be why the buildings were empty. They got a warning.
What do you
think
about
that,
Joe?
They were told it was going to happen.
Possible.
They were told that it was going to happen.
Well, let me ask you this then. That if they were told it was going to happen, and we're going to go along with what you said, why did they shut down NATO or whatever it was that day so none of the planes could come and intercept those jets?
That's what I don't understand, because they were told, they were warned it was going to happen. They were warned with every place that something was going to take place at. They were told ahead of time. And yet, the United States did nothing to stop it.
Yeah, and if any plane comes into our airspace in 3 minutes, we're on their tail.
Yet
supposedly all these planes can do whatever they want, and we're nowhere to be found.
I know. That's what I don't understand. How did these two planes get to those two buildings without being sighted? The one in Pennsylvania, how did it get to where it was going?
Well,
I don't understand.
I learned in Pennsylvania, too, all there is a hole in the ground. There isn't much of a plane there, if anything.
No, but I'm just saying, it just doesn't make any sense. And when the government was warned, because I know, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was like a year before when I went up north to visit, I had gone through the Lincoln Tunnel. Come to find out, there was a terrorist threat on the Lincoln Tunnel. At the time that I went through it, they threatened to blow it up.
Yeah. Well,
go that way.
I can have this all make sense to you. It's very easy. I've already said it. What if it was all a movie and none of what you know is real?
Well, it
now
can't
it all
be.
Makes
yeah,
sense.
Because
we know.
It can't be because we know the buildings are no longer there anymore. So something did happen.
Exactly. Well, that was in the movie. That was part of the movie.
Yeah, well, something did happen. I did see a movie on the World Trade Center's coming down. It was Remember Love, because I like Robert Pattinson, and he was actually in the World Trade Center because he died in it. But what I'm saying is when I went on Facebook today, and I shared somebody's video, and it did look like it was fake when the planes were coming through. And the other thing was, when it did happen, I think maybe it was like 3 months later, I was able to go through, and I actually saw maybe like 2,800 people's pictures that had supposedly died in the World Trade Center.
Do you know, do you know somebody who died? Do you know somebody who died in the World Trade Center?
No.
Listen, everybody knows everybody knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that died.
No, I don't know anybody.
No, she doesn't. Joe, do you know anybody who died in the World Trade Center?
Of course not.
Okay.
No.
Mike?
There
you
was some a nurse, yeah, but Joe, there was a nurse that I did work with who had a relative who died in the World Trade Center.
Who had a relative.
Because
okay.
I had gone, because when I had gone into work that day, because they had actually closed off a part of 68 because there was some kind of nuclear plant or something out there, they had closed that road off because they were afraid that, you know, they were going to continue with attacks.
Yeah.
So I had to go the long way around. When I got into work, I had a cover for this nurse because of what happened. And I think it was her cousin or something. She was upset, so she had left work.
Okay, well, we know a lot of people did die that day. I mean, we do know that. That's obvious. And the buildings, like Joe said, are not there anymore. Did it happen the way it really... You know, yeah, I know, because I went through New York City, and I didn't see them there anymore. You know, they're not there.
Right.
But how were they blown up? We don't... I mean...
I think there were bombs in it. I think there were bombs in it.
Yeah.
I really do. Because a plane, like Joe said, a plane cannot take a building down. And those were explosions.
That big of a plane flying that close to the ground at that kind of speed, making a hit like it hit is almost impossible for even a well-trained pilot.
Yeah, but
that's
what I'm saying. It just doesn't, it was too big of a plane. And it showed in the video that I posted today where the plane was coming towards the building and it actually flew over. I think there was a fireman doing something with a rod on the ground next to a pedestrian, and they looked up and saw the plane.
Well,
I saw that video.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these people didn't, I mean, all these people, they had to fly over people. It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
it's just, I mean, you're not
going
to notice that?
Let me tell you something. 9/11 was, I remember living up north at that time, and it was a very beautiful day. It was sunny, bright, and
right.
It was warm, not too hot. It was a beautiful day. And, you know, and I just remember the chaos from being in Connecticut at that time and watching the traffic and, you know, on the highway. And it was just amazing of the chaos from these two buildings being brought down, how important they actually were and how it affected so many different people, you know?
Right, because it even affected here in North Carolina. Like I said, they closed off a part of the highway because they were just thinking all these threats that were made and everything. And like I said, there was a nuclear plant. I had to go to Timbuktu just to get to work off of 68. I'm like, wow, you got to be kidding me.
The point of it is we're back to a situation like John F. Kennedy when that happened.
Right.
I wasn't around.
You never know. Right.
Were you around
back
then?
I was.
Then?
Yeah,
well,
I was around. I watched it on TV. We don't know.
Okay.
I think somebody inside the government did it. I seriously do. I do not think it was the guy who died or whoever got caught. Well, who did him? Lee Harvey Oswald?
Oswald,
he's the one that did John. Yeah, I don't know, but
yeah,
I don't think he did it. Yeah,
not
I don't think
either.
He did it.
Of course not.
I don't think he did it. I think it was the government did it. I think the government did not like the way President Kennedy was doing things.
Possibly.
I honestly, truly think that
well,
they did not
times
like
have you heard me say, if you don't do what we say, we're going to put you in a convertible and go through Dallas.
Yeah.
Right?
But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, look at. I mean, then they took a shot at Ronald Reagan, too.
Yeah,
he was very outspoken
and
very opinionated.
You know what the problem with all this stuff is? You see, you can't fake it good enough. Metal does just not melt at this temperature. Bullets do not go through a person's head, through somebody's shoulder, and lay on the floor of the car in pristine condition. Things like that are physically impossible. So if you can find one lie, then it's all a lie.
Well, the only thing with John Kennedy, I just remember that Jacqueline Kennedy had the blood all over her. I remember that Jacqueline Kennedy had the blood.
She was trying to jump out of the damn car.
Yeah, but I mean, when he was actually
shot,
his blood splattered on her.
I'm not saying he didn't get shot. Just like I'm not saying those buildings didn't come down. What I'm saying is the stories we're getting are fake.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all a cover-up.
Right.
Well,
let's
look at it from a simple perspective. You've all dealt with local government, you know, the government, Social Security, Joe, Mike with Social Security. Anyway, hey, look, they lied to you, right? So why do you think the lower levels who lie to you, why don't you think the larger levels
lie? Oh, we know
the
higher-ups lie. They all lie. I mean, everybody lies. I mean, it's a control, like with Obamacare, and they're just trying to control you. They're forcing you to do something. They are forcing you to have the insurance. They are making you have it. Otherwise, you're going to be penalized. Now, what right do you have to take my money back and penalize me because I don't want health insurance?
Do you remember when we were young, we didn't even have to have car insurance?
No, you didn't have to have any kind of insurance.
Right, exactly. You just get your license and drive.
Right. The same thing with the health insurance. You didn't have to have it. You just had it for the benefit because if you had a child, you didn't have to pay anything.
Right.
You know, so it was a good thing to have. But now they're forcing you. They're saying you have to do this. No, you don't.
No,
that's
true. I think that's a breach of our rights.
Yeah. Now we can go back on a subject we were talking about. You see, if they get you where you have to have insurance, if they get you where you have to do this, where you have to sign up for that, now they know who everybody is and where everybody is.
Right.
True. That's true.
That's right. Right.
Well, anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Now, it's just like, again, with the World Trade Center, I think it was just all a cover-up. There was something greater going on. We don't know what it is, and they're not going to let us know what it is. And to me, it's just a shame that all these people had to die for basically nothing because we don't know why.
Exactly.
You know,
right. Many people die every day for nothing. America is the land of sudden death.
Right.
Since we're at the 20-minute mark now, each and every person that called in, hey, you can have your final say, or if there's someone else new who wants to call in. Now, I'm going to give you your
one
final
thing.
Say. All right, go ahead.
You're awful chipper for having the flu yesterday. What did you do?
I drank a lot of green coffee. No, I did.
Okay.
I drank a lot of green coffee and lime.
Okay. I just wanted to know, and if I didn't get it out, I probably would have forgot when it came to be my turn, so I'm done.
I had a lot of green coffee.
Well,
okay.
Listen, if there's anyone new who wants to call in, 657-383-0616, press 1, and I'll put you through because I've got the phone lines up right now. But I got Mike in Wisconsin, September 11th, 2014. Where were you, and what do you think to wrap it up for tonight? Mike. Michael in Wisconsin,
yeah, okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was getting out of Pratt & Whitney aircraft. And, was I?
I don't know.
Yeah.
2001.
Oh, we were at the dog kennel. Oh, sorry, I'm wrong. We were at the dog kennel. We were at the dog kennel picking up poop.
Oh,
so
my God,
why...
Mike.
Oh, wow, Mike. All right, Mike.
So,
you know, at the dog kennel.
You know what I gave you? I gave you the time that Elvis died. I was coming out of Pratt & Whitney aircraft for a lunch.
Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
I was coming out their great big long ramp, and I heard on the radio Elvis died, and I slammed on the brakes, turned the car around, went back inside.
Okay.
I remember that,
all
Michael, because
right.
I remember you coming into the house and saying something about it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Elvis was kind of my favorite.
Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, okay, Mike, you got that. Now, Debbie in Reidsville, go ahead. You can wrap up your comments for tonight.
Now, the only thing I have to say is I still say it's a cover-up, and we'll never know what's going to happen, what really happened. And I'm sure there's going to be more going on. I think the government's going to do more. Until, I guess, if you want to go to biblical times, it's a sign of the end.
Well,
I know that you do that.
I didn't get too much into that tonight, but yeah, we can maybe tomorrow night. But yeah, anything else?
Nope, that's it for me.
You can say hello to your mother. She's listening.
Oh, hey, Mom.
Oh, all right,
still,
all right.
Okay, I'm going to call
listening.
Her anyway.
I haven't connected.
Okay,
her,
I'm
going to
call her.
Tonight. All right, Joe, your chance. You get the last word tonight.
Well, I already said it, so I'll just say ditto.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, then I'll wrap it up myself. But anyway, I'd like to thank everyone who listened. I know we had the chat room pretty full, you know, and a couple people logged out already. We had some new ones in there. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But your comments do matter, and that's what's important because I give everyone a chance to have their say. We had a good discussion about 9/11. Hey, you know what? What would you be doing if I did not have this show tonight? You wouldn't be talking about 9/11. You wouldn't be talking to your friends and family and strangers that you don't even know, because we got some new people on now that are supporting the show. So that's great. And we're going to grow as weeks come. Like I told you last night, we're going to get some more new people. We did tonight. You know, we had them in the chat room. So everyone's opinion matters. And for that radio show out there who wants to shun me and they call me a troll, you know what? You won't dare come on and debate me about your evolution, will you? You want to know why? Because I think you're just a bunch of big mouths, and you like to talk and talk and talk, and you're a farce. Because you know what? I asked you several questions in your chat room, and you couldn't answer. And I gave you an opportunity to have the floor tonight on my dime, but you said you didn't have time. You know what? Shame on you for spreading lies and nonsense about evolution and everything else. Because it's because of people like you who abuse the First Amendment that are destroying the moral foundations of this country. I can get up here and lie and swear and act like a jackass too and get 20 of my friends to laugh and joke and make fun of everybody. But that's not what this show is about. We're here to help everybody. So good always prevails over evil. Evil seems like it's in control, but good always wins in the end, even if it means to the day we die. When we die, if you live a good life, you know where you're going, especially if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll wrap it up there, everyone. Hey, good night. God bless. Take care. And hopefully you're around next year on September 11th. Take care.
are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children, not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will.
Anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off the chip.
That's right, microchips. In 2005, Congress, under the pretense of immigration control and the so-called war on terrorism, passed the REAL ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all new American passports. And the final step is the implanted chip, which many people have already been manipulated into accepting under different pretenses.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their bodies.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
In the end, everybody will be locked into a monitored control grid where every single action you perform is documented. And if you get out of line, they can just turn off your chip, for at that point in time, every single aspect of society will revolve around interactions with the chips. This is the picture that is painted for the future if you open your eyes to see it. A centralized one-world economy where everyone's moves and everyone's transactions are tracked and monitored, all rights removed. The most incredible aspect of all. These totalitarian elements will not be forced upon the people. The people will demand them. For the social manipulation of society through the generation of fear and division has completely detached humans from their sense of power and reality. A process which has been going on for centuries, if not millennia. Religion, patriotism, race, wealth, class, and every other form of arbitrary, separatist identification, thus conceit, has served to create a controlled population, utterly malleable in the hands of the few. Divide and conquer is the motto,
And as long as people continue to see themselves as separate from everything else, they lend themselves to being completely enslaved. The men behind the curtain know this, and they also know that if people ever realize the truth of their relationship to nature and the truth of their personal power, the entire manufactured zeitgeist they prey upon will collapse like a house of cards.
The whole system that we live in drills into us that we're powerless, that we're weak, that our society is evil, that it's fragmented, etc., and so forth. It's all a big, fat lie. We are powerful, beautiful, extraordinary. There is no reason why we cannot understand who we truly are, where we are going. There is no reason why the average individual cannot be fully empowered. We are incredibly powerful beings.
Now, I think I spent 30 years of my life, in the first 30, trying to become something. I wanted to become good at things. I wanted to become good at tennis. I wanted to become good at school and grades and everything I kind of viewed in that perspective. I'm not okay the way I am, but if I got good at things, I realized that I had the game wrong. The game was to find out what I already was.
For individual differences to stand out. So you look at each person, the immediate hit is brighter, dumber, older, younger, richer, poorer, and we make all these dimensional distinctions, put them in categories and treat them that way. And we get so that we only see others as separate from ourselves in the ways in which they're separate. And one of the dramatic characteristics of experience is being with another person and suddenly seeing the ways in which they are like you, not different from you. And experiencing the fact that which is essence in you and which is essence in me is indeed one. The understanding that there is no other. It is all one. And I wasn't born Richard Alpert. I was just born as a human being. And then I learned this whole business of who I am and whether I'm good or bad or achieving or not. All that's learned along the way.
Like a ride in an amusement park. And when you go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored.
And it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride?
And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry.
Don't be afraid ever. Because this is just a ride. And we kill those people.
Shut him up! I've got a lot invested in this ride! Shut him up!
Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account
and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we'll kill those good guys
and try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok?
But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride, and we can change it anytime we want.
It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money.
Just a choice right now between fear and love.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight on September 11th, 2015. If anyone you would like to have a copy of my book, I will mail it to you for free. Contact me at joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. I will mail you out a free copy. It's called Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. I will issue you a copy for free if you are unable to afford it. Just mention this show. Understanding the times in which we live in today when you email me, joegibsonishome@yahoo.com, or you can go to amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all the major online book retailers, and you can pick up a copy of my book, Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. Trust me, it's a book you'd like to read. Thank you very much. Good night. God bless. I hope to hear from you tomorrow night.